Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The River. This is Tom Fuller coming to you from beautiful Portland, Oregon, with my friends and your hosts, authors Maxine Marcellini and Jeannie St. John Taylor. Every Monday, Maxine and Jeannie get together to share what's on their hearts with listeners around the world. They chat with other authors and friends on a wide variety of topics. Some bring a laugh, some cause us to wipe away a tear, but all of them send rivers of blessing into our lives. These shows can be life-changing if our hearts are open and allow the river of God's love to pour into our deepest needs. So, listeners, are you ready? Now's the perfect time for me to stop talking and let the ladies take us on today's exciting journey down the river.
And listeners, we want to welcome you to today's edition of The River. Thank you for joining us. This is Maxine, and I'm here with my co-host, Jeannie. Hi, Jeannie.
Hi, Maxine. So good to be here with you again. I love Mondays.
Oh, I do too. And actually, it was sunny enough this Monday for me to get out there and cut off a few plants that needed to be put in the yard bin, and I'm feeling really happy about that. And
yeah,
also, I think we would be amiss if we didn't say Happy Veterans Day today and be thankful for all our veterans.
Especially to my son, my husband, and my nephew, especially, although all of them, yes.
Yes, and my dad was Navy, my brother Air Force, and my husband Army, and, you know, I'm so glad they all served when they did, and so thankful
there are
people still serving today to help America stay free.
And every day I just thank the Lord that my husband made it home safely from Vietnam. I just made it home injured twice, but alive and well and not badly injured. You know, he's whole now. And my nephew, Adam Kinzinger, has flown in several Afghanistan and Iraq, and he's fine too. So thank you, Lord.
Yes, amen. And today, you know, that topic brings up kind of the worries that might be behind something like that when you are a military spouse or a family member of a military person. So today's guest, Kathy Collard Miller, is going to fit right well into the conversation we've just opened up with today. Our guest speaker today is going to be Kathy Collard Miller. She is a speaker and an author. Her passion is to inspire women to trust God more. She's spoken in 30 states, foreign countries times 7, has 49 published books, including Women of the Bible, Smart Guide to the Bible with Thomas Nelson, and she blogs at KathyCollardMillerBlogspot.com. She lives in Southern California, out in the desert, with her husband of 43 years, Larry, and is a proud grandma, like Jeannie and me.
Yeah.
And what's different, though, is Kathy and Larry often speak together at marriage events and retreats, too. But Kathy's book today that we're going to be talking about is called Partly Cloudy with Scattered Worries, Finding Peace in All Kinds of Weather. So welcome to our program, Kathy.
I am thrilled to be with you, Maxine and Jeannie. Thank you for this treat.
Great title, too. We love your title and your chapter titles. They're wonderful.
Oh,
fit right
thank
in with
you.
Our son today, yeah.
Exactly, and it was really fun to develop that theme of weather and how we're hit by different things, but of course it's all an analogy for the different circumstances in our lives.
And you know, Kathy, this is one book that I can feel like I would give to people at Christmas time, because we all have women friends in our lives or family members who worry too much, even our children, you know, and you are so practical in this book. I am blown away with how you put the pieces together in it. It's fabulous.
Well, thank you. I think worry is something that we do it and we don't think of it as being dangerous or sinful or something that is destructive, and yet it really is, and unfortunately it shows a lack of trust in God.
So you think it's sinful to worry?
I do. I mean, I certainly don't think that the first temptation in that direction is sinful. I think it's the kind of thing, it's sort of like when the Bible says, be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down in your anger. I think we could say worry, but do not sin. don't continue in it. That's why 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. So we might be hit with Satan's first arrow of worry, but the sin comes when we decide, yes, I want to chew on this. I want to continue to go in the direction of believing God cannot be strong enough for me.
Hmm. Kind of reminds me of that. Go ahead, Maxine.
Well, that's just really true, but I want to hear what it's reminding you of.
It reminds me of
the
verse in Proverbs, only you just changed the wording a little, that says, he who loves to argue loves sin. And I think worrying is something that we actually sort of enjoy, and I don't know how to explain it, but I know it's true for me. I'm ashamed to admit it, that sometimes I want to worry about something, and that means I'm loving sin, and I don't want to do that.
Jeannie, I totally agree with you. I am the same way. And when I realized that I was enjoying it,
yeah.
You know what, at least for me, I realized? Because in that moment, I'm the center of the universe. It's about me, me, me. And I can say I'm worried about you, but you know what I'm really worried about is that whatever happens to you is going to affect me negatively.
Boy, is that for sure. So what is it that makes people worry? Why do we do it? I mean, why is our mind prone to go worry? Do we call it something else?
We do call it other things. I'm just a little pondering about this. I'm just thinking about this. Oh, I'm planning. And yet so often it becomes just this swirl of confusion, and yet somehow we think it's doing some good. I remember so many years ago, my grandmother said to me, oh, Kathy, I've been so worried about you. And you know what I really wanted to hear from her is, Kathy, I've been praying for you. And yet in that generation, they thought worrying was a way to communicate love, but I didn't feel loved. I felt like, you know what, she thinks I'm sort of a dummy, that I can't handle my life, that she has to worry about me. So, you know, before she died, she did get to the point, I don't know what changed, but she said to me, Kathy, I was praying for you. Mm. And, you know, it touches me right now to think that she put her thoughts where there could do some good, because worrying doesn't do any good, but boy, praying does.
And yet, you know, we can worry while we pray. I've done that. I'm guilty. I can explain it to you if you like. I do that. You want an expert here?
It's like a railroad track. You know, one side is the worry and the other side is prayer. And we think one of these days it'll meet and wipe out the worry. But, yes, I think so. And that's maybe what the Bible means when it talks about that divided mind. We're torn this way and that way. And it does take practice and meditation to stay firm in our trust and in our prayer and reject that worry alongside.
Do you think there's anybody? Go ahead, Maxine. I keep jumping in. Go ahead.
Well, it's okay. Finish your thought, Jeannie.
I just wonder, do you think there's anyone ever in the history of the world who was not tempted to worry? I mean, who it just came naturally, they're not worried about things?
Well, I know that there are some really low-key, peaceful kind of people that sort of just take life as it comes. But I don't know. I would find it hard to believe that at some point they don't worry. At for something, I mean, certainly we're all hit with things that are very serious. And so, I don't know. I've always said that Jesus was the only one who didn't worry, but who knows? Maybe that there is a person out there like that.
And when we take on worry, in your book, you talk about going through stages of when worry's not a sin and when worry becomes a sin. Can you show us the stages of that?
I think it's a matter of whether we reject that first temptation. When you think about Jesus, he was hit with things by Satan at his temptation, and he had that thought. He had the thought of whatever Satan said, but he took it captive as we mentioned earlier, and rejected the lie and focused on the truth. And I think we have the same temptation. It comes at us, and as we know, and I need to finish the thought, as we know, Jesus didn't sin. So we know that that thought that he had was not sin because he didn't take it in. And so I think it's the same way with us with possible worry. We need to examine that thought. And I like to think of it this way. When the Bible says take it captive, I like to think of it as an arrow coming towards our minds. We grab that arrow symbolically, and we ask ourselves, is this the truth? Is this what the Bible says? Is this how I should trust God? And then when we examine it, and if it is in line with the Bible, then we can say, I receive it. I come on in, arrow. You come right into my mind and help me to draw closer to the Lord. But if that arrow is one of fear and distrust and doubt and against the truth of the Bible, then we can cast it away. And at that point, we haven't sinned because we haven't agreed with it. Now, I'm not saying that we're never going to sin even if we do that. And that's where, of course, we have forgiveness and cleansing, and we're back in fellowship with the Lord. So there, it's not that that worrying is the end and, you know, we're cast out of the kingdom. So that's what the way I like to think of it, and that's based, as I said, in 2 Corinthians 10:5, take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ.
So when's it okay then to be concerned to a point of taking action?
And that's the great point, because see, there is a difference between worry, fear, and concern. Fear is based in things that are truly fearful. In other words, if you have an angry bear running towards you and you're going to be lunch, don't think, well, I shouldn't worry, I'll just stand here. No, you do something about it. You take action.
Hey,
go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Concern is not worry either. Concern is where you see, you know, there is some possibility here for well, I can go to worry or I can take action. And so concern is where you know that something's not right here. I need to take the action of prayer. Worry is like a cow chewing its cud. It goes over the same thing over and over and over again. And there's no nourishment at all. There's no trust in God. We're just going over the same thing. And someone says, worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but you don't go anywhere. And so worry doesn't help you make a wise decision. You just think about it, get more and more fearful, distrust in the Lord. And so that's the difference. Fear is legitimate. Concern is legitimate also because if we go ahead and take action and seek the Lord, worry is where we leave out the Lord and we just focus on the negativity.
Okay, hey. Kathy, you're bringing me to one more question now. I'll let you hold that thought a second, Jeannie.
Yeah.
But what is the physical effect upon our bodies if we carry this heavy load of worry that, from what you're telling in your book, God does not plan for us to carry?
Yeah. Our bodies have ulcers. Depression can come from worry. I think panic attacks. I think we can get so discouraged that we just decide that there's no purpose in trusting God. We don't pray. We take control. And I think there are both physical, emotional, and spiritual consequences.
You know what I was wanting to ask you, Kathy? Can we just get really practical for a moment and specific? And can we just have a hypothetical situation and let you say what how you could handle that so that we give our listeners some ideas? Let's
awesome.
Just say that you are in bed at 3 in the morning, or they are, and they get a phone call that their son or daughter has been in a traffic accident, and they don't know how he or she is, but they have to rush to the hospital. How do they handle it? Starting right there, what do they do? How do you handle it so that it's a healthy way to handle it in a positive way?
I think the first thing is to say, help me, Lord, and help my son, daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Just crying out to the Lord with what people often call an arrow prayer. And you could even, if you could kneel by the bed, you could have your spouse kneel with you, even for 30 seconds, just to invite the Lord into this situation. Then as you go to the hospital, I think it'd be really healthy to just start claiming Bible verses and say them out loud if you can. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Trust in the Lord and just start those verses that hopefully we've memorized, and then get on your cell phone and call those that you know are prayer warriors.
Right.
And I think another important thing is, because Satan is going to bring in the feelings of fear that he wants to be turned into worry, is to say, Satan, in the name of Jesus, I tell you to leave me alone. I turn over my son, my daughter to the Lord. He loves them more than I do, and I'm going to trust that he knows what is best for them. And yet, Lord, please guide the doctors and all who are making decisions for my child right now.
That's fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. One of the things that you're bringing out in Chapter 3 with the catching the rainbow, you're explaining a peace card. What is a peace card?
I love this. Thank you for asking about that. A long time ago, yes, a long time ago, I went to a seminar taught by H. Norman Wright, who's a Christian psychologist, and he suggested this. I'm not taking credit for it myself. And what I've told women at women's retreats, and I bring an index card, and I pass out an index card to everyone. On one side of the index card, I have them write in big letters, the whole size of the index card, stop, with a exclamation point. Then on the other side, I have them write out Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, or Philippians 4, 6, and 7, whichever is my favorite that day. And so if it's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, I have them write out the words, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not on thine own understanding. And so I have them write out those verses. Then I instruct them, when you recognize that you have been hit with the temptation of worry, you pull out your peace card, you turn it on one side, and if you can, say out loud, stop, stop. And then turn it over and read the verses out loud. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And just go through the verses, and if you have to do it several times to get your mind, and again, the principle, take it captive. Take it captive. So that, and I have to tell you, I've done that so many times, and one time I arrived for a speaking engagement, and a lady looked at me and she says, oh, I know who you are. And she walked over to her purse. She pulled out a peace card. She showed me the peace card. It was tattered. It was coffee stained. And she said, I did this years ago when you had us do it at, she named the church. And she says, this has helped me in the Lord's power to resist worry. And
I love
that. Isn't that great? And I may not carry my card with me anymore, but I do the same thing in my mind or out loud. Stop.
Yeah.
Stop. and I turn the card over and I go through a verse of whatever I know is meaningful to me to turn my attention to the Lord.
How important do you think it is to say it out loud if you can?
Oh, I think that's so important because, you know, I'm not going to get into whether we believe Satan can hear our thoughts. I don't know. But the important thing is we're for sure letting him know we're not going to go there. And, you know, you mentioned about that 3 o'clock. How many of us wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, there's no phone call, but we start worrying. And, boy, I tell you, there's something about the night, the dark, that brings that worry to the fore. And I so many times have said in my mind, or no, I say it out loud, stop, stop. And then I say my verses even out loud. And it's crazy. Within 3 seconds, I'm thinking, now what was that I was worried about? Because it has dispelled the fear and rebuked Satan and resisted him.
One other thing that you're doing with this book, Kathy, is you're presenting it in ways that it can be used in group settings, in either a Bible setting or just a women's book study group in a neighborhood even. There are so many practical ways you could use this. But what I found on page 79 was you started a list there that opens an umbrella that protects the woman's heart. And you've got a half a dozen things you're listing there that if we were to do them, we might be less worried as well. So the first one you started off with was to get some professional Christian counseling if the worry is that great. And then below that, you have several others. Could you go into that list just a little bit with us?
I would love to. Secondly, read books about worry and panic attacks. I do mention panic attacks because I find that a lot of women, their worry turns into panic attacks. So I suggest a book like The Anxiety Cure by Dr. Archibald Hart and The Good News About Worry by William Backus. Then thirdly, a good night's sleep. I think a lot of times we're exhausted. It's hard to resist worry when our defenses are down because our body is depleted of the rest that we need. And, boy, I put in naps, too. I think they're fabulous. Fourth is exercise, the adrenaline. Get the adrenaline going. And do something good for your body. It really does help, even with worry. And something that I try to practice every Sunday is a Sabbath rest or Saturday. I try and take time, extended time, to focus on the Lord. And, of course, as much as possible, we're trying to do many Sabbath rests by studying the Bible and praying every day. But a little bit of an extended time on the Sabbath rest, I think, can make a huge difference in resisting worry. And finally, healthy eating. I am a chocoholic. I'll just come out and, I am that. And when I have too much sugar, I have a harder time with my emotions. And connected with the emotions is being able to resist worry. So I think those 6 things can really make a difference, even if we just make one tiny little improvement in any of those.
Can I shift it just a different touch of a different direction?
Please.
For a second? I have another practical one that I would like you to speak to women about. And I think that so many times anger and worry can be intertwined.
Yeah.
And I think especially with coworkers, and right now I have a friend who is being falsely accused at work, and it's to the point that she has to worry about legal problems and being fired, and so it's really hard not to worry. And also, isn't the anger entwined, and do you have any suggestions for her?
Well, first of all, you're talking to the expert about anger because, unfortunately, I was an anger expert in the sense that I abused my 2-year-old daughter many years ago, 35 years ago. So you are totally right. I think it goes both ways. When we're worried, we get more angry, and when we're angry, it can be because it can lead to more worry. So one of the examples I give in the book is our daughter is late coming home past curfew. And so we're worried. We can't reach her by cell phone, don't know what's going on. She comes in an hour late, and the worry turns from worry into anger.
Yeah.
Because how dare she put us through this worry, and we were so afraid and worried that now we turn it into anger for any number of reasons. So I think they're definitely related. And for that poor woman, your friend, I'm sure it's a battle for her to not allow worry to turn into anger at those who are treating her poorly. And then worry, will God come through for her and protect her reputation?
Yeah.
Yeah, great response to that, Kathy.
Mm-hmm.
We're starting to run pretty low on our time here. Which is sad because this is a good topic to continue to talk about because we certainly could. But would you let our listeners know how they can get a hold of you and what is your availability and some of the topics you speak on with groups?
I love to speak to women's groups, especially women's retreats, because it gives me an opportunity to spend extended time with women. So they could give me a telephone call. My number is 760-360-5194. My email is Kathy Speak, and that's KathySpeak at AOL.com. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. And just so that you know, collard is like the collard greens, Kathy with a K, collard like collard greens, B-O-L-L-A-R-D, and the Miller is easy. So, again, I would love to hear from anyone, and just the Kathy Speak at AOL, I think, is a great way to reach me. But my website also is kathycollardmiller.blogspot.com.
And Kathy, there's another part of your book, of course many of them interested me, but another one was how we can control people through worry. And you had a story in there about a woman whose mother was still controlling her.
I like that.
How does that work?
Oh, I don't like that. But.
And we think we're controlling other people. For instance, the example I give is that every time she's with her mom, even though they both lived in the same area, her mom tells her which streets to go when she's driving. And this lady told me that when her mom does that, the message that she hears is not love. It's that you are stupid. You can't even get around in your own town. Now, I wouldn't have any pause than that mom thinks, well, why waste time? I'm trying to help my daughter, not waste her time, and so we'll just go the fastest because I know best, and yet it is destructive to their relationship, but the mom thinks, oh, you know, I'm just doing something very innocuous, it's no big deal, but it's a big deal to that woman, and she was almost in tears as she told me how she feels like a little kid again with a mother who's really sort of bossing her around. That's not a healthy relationship. But we think we're helping the situation, but we're actually trying to control, and that is not trusting God.
Yes, I know a situation where that is taking place, so I'm glad you answered that question. Thank you. Jeannie, would you like to ask Kathy one more question because we're going to have to close the show soon?
I'd just like to know a little bit about her goals for her ministry.
Oh, what a great question. Thank you, Jeannie. My goal is to cooperate with whatever the Lord wants. The 49th book is Partly Cloudy with Scattered Worries. I'm very grateful to the Lord that I have accepted a contract for my 50th. That'll be out in about a year and a half. I am open to wherever the Lord wants me to speak and share. I have a variety of topics that are on the blogspot.com website. And I like to love on my grandson, who is 6 years old, and he's about the cutest thing there ever is. So those are my goals in life.
Oh, Kathy, thank you so much for being with us. Would you like to leave our listeners with a parting thought today?
I would. I just want you to know and be a reminder to myself that God is big enough, He is powerful enough, He is good enough, He is loving enough for us to put all of our concerns, fears, and worries into His hands and to trust Him, because He is a great God and loves us so much.
Thank you
so
much for being with us today, Kathy.
Thank you, ladies.
Amen
to
all you've
said.
God bless you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This is Tom Fuller saying thank you for joining us on The River today. I pray blessings have come your way. Please check out our hosts' websites to learn a little more about them. Maxine Marcellini is the author of Rebuilding Families $1 at a Time, Blended Families, and Raising Children in Blended Families. She's a life coach whose website, rebuildingfamilies.net, is full of family helps and resources. Jeannie St. John Taylor is the author and illustrator of more than 25 books for adults as well as children. You'll find her books plus a link to read her newest biblical fiction, City of a Thousand Gods, on her website at jeanniestjohntaylor.com. All our programs are archived for later listening enjoyment. Consider posting a comment after today's show. And please let your friends know about what's happening at The River. Most of all, remember, you are never alone in this river called life. Jesus is with you and only a prayer away.